Hello, and thank you for tuning in to St. Columba Anglican Church in Beaumont, Alberta. I'm Stephanie London. It's Sunday, April 30th, 2023, the fourth Sunday of Easter. Our Bible passage today is John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Richard Foster, a Christian author and spiritual leader, writes about a journaling experiment he undertook in what he calls attempting to draw closer to the living heartbeat. Monday. Today I want to begin an experiment of listening to God every moment of my day. I desire to know God's voice in the daily junctions of my life, to learn His vocabulary through ordinary tasks. The promise is for an ever-present teacher. My problem is the frequency of unexcused absences. I tend to attend class only in times of devotion or meditation. The need is to hear God speak through routine activities, to discern the living word in daily ventures. Tuesday. I think the heavenly voice spoke through my emotions today. Feelings of loneliness and of being shut out by others nettled me. I believe I heard two things. First, the feeling of self-pity shows my distance from a walk of faith. Second, Christ pointed to lonely, hurting people and invited me to care for them. Wednesday. A dull day lightened by some meaningful conversation in the evening. Went through the day without listening at all. Lord, how is it that I can have such wide fluctuations in my determination to open myself to your voice? Sunday. My mind was engaged in 1,000 things today. Listening to God was hard because inwardly I seemed so fragmented. Then suddenly I became aware of the silent creation all around me. Trees, grass, sky. And I heard God. The word was peace. Tuesday. Is there any connection between attentiveness to the divine voice and the flow of creative ideas? All morning there was such a rush of fresh new thoughts that I barely had time to record them all. Wednesday. The discipline of listening to God is still outside of me and something I must work at by an act of will. How strange that it seems like work shows how far we've fallen from the days of the Garden of Eden. But it's easier than when I began. I look for the day when it is such an ingrained habit pattern that I will find it as hard as breathing. Monday. We all received news today that CM has a terminal illness. Immediately I wondered if I should go to her and pray for her healing. And one can think of many reasons why it would be right for her to get well. Though I know it's normally God's will for people to get well, somehow I felt a check, and so decided that I should take this morning to listen and see if I received any instruction. About 45 minutes later, I was reading in the Little Flowers of St. Francis of a dying man who had a wonderful visitation from the Lord, in which God gave him great comfort and enlightenment, and then took him home. I felt that to be the Lord's word for me. To pray that God would give CM great comfort and enlightenment and then take her home. Thursday. I'm finding that listening works much better when I'm engaged in mission, rather like those missiles whose guidance systems work only after the missile is launched. Friday. Jesus came and took CM home tonight. Listening to the Good Shepherd is staying close to him, leaning our ear on his chest, hearing his breath, so we can know how to pray. In listening, we discover that Jesus is the Good Shepherd, because he's good, because he heals, because he brings life. This is all well and good, but of course often so hard in practice, and so easy to lose in distractions. In fact, the passage we read today from John 9 is a demonstration of how not to do it. We have an artificial division here with our chapters and verses. So if we sweep those away for a moment and go back a bit further from what we read today, it's pretty clear that with this story of the Good Shepherd in John 10, Jesus is responding to people who were doing the opposite. John 9 is the story of the man born blind. Jesus is walking along and sees a man who's been blind from birth. Jesus tells his disciples that this blindness is not because he or his parents sinned, but so that in this man the works of God might be displayed. Then he heals the man, and miraculously he comes home, seeing for the first time in his life. It's a reason to celebrate and rejoice, right? But But no, even though Jesus himself is right in front of them, the revelation of God's glory in this man's restored sight is visible to all, they ignore it completely, and everyone starts arguing. The man's neighbors are so blind to this act of God that they decide the only explanation is that it must be someone else who looks just like the man, who wasn't blind at all. And then they take the healed man to the Pharisees, the religious leaders, to have them investigate it. They question the man and his parents, and criticize Jesus for healing on the Sabbath. Finally, they insult the man and throw him out. Jesus hears this and finds him. "Do you believe that in the Son of Man?" he asks him. "Who is he, sir?" the man asks. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus says, "You have now seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. And Jesus replied, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind, spiritually blind." And then we go from there into what we read today. "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees," Jesus says, "anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber." The harshest words Jesus has are reserved for people who claim to lead people in the ways of God, but miss what God is actually doing right in front of them. Who claim to speak for God, but don't know his voice. Who live to lead others, but don't in fact care for the ones they lead. Who, in Jesus' words, are spiritually blind while claiming to see. That the people doing this in Jesus' day are the religious leaders is a sobering reminder for those of us who stand up here wearing the robes. Don't ignore what God is actually doing. Don't do harm to those God loves and whom God is healing. There are more bad shepherds in the Bible. It's pretty clear that Jesus also has them in mind. So let's step way back 600 years to Ezekiel 34. The prophet Ezekiel writes, "The word of the Lord came to me. Prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Woe to you who only take care of yourselves. You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you don't take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly, so they were scattered, and no one searched or looked for them." This truth is harsh. The Bible is so clear that the thing God hates most is when people harm the ones he loves, the ones who are vulnerable, and the ones who he entrusted us to love. But it doesn't end there. Ezekiel continues with a promise from God, a promise to fill up what we have lacked, step in where we have failed, heal what we have failed to see. "This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their good grazing land. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. I will shepherd the flock with justice. I will make a covenant of peace with them and rid the land of savage beasts so that they may live in the wilderness and sleep in the forests in safety. I will make them and the places surrounding my hill a blessing. There will be showers of blessing." That's the prophecy. And its fulfillment 600 years later is Jesus. He is the Good Shepherd, which means the one who cares for the sheep. Every one of us, not just the strong, not just the obedient, but the ones who wander off on the hills and get themselves lost and injured, the ones who don't know the way to clean water, the ones who have forgotten where to find good food. Jesus is God, tending the flocks in good pasture, binding up the injured, bringing home the lost, clearing away what steals and kills and destroys. Jesus is bringing blessing, leading us to good pasture, calling us and teaching us to know his voice. Jesus is the one who, in spite of a firestorm of opposition, stoops in the dust, reaches out, and heals a man born blind. Because that's what good shepherds do. And Jesus takes it a step further. He has come not only to give them life, but to give them life abundantly, so that they will thrive, and so will generations after he leaves, as his people in turn become good shepherds for each other, ones who heal and restore, who lead to good pasture and bring blessing, who hear and recognize the good shepherd's voice and care for those the good shepherd cares for. Monday. It is wonderful, this listening to God. I received a couple of hate letters today and immediately felt the joy of God at being able to receive their anger, searched my heart and felt clear of all accusations, sensed an increasing freedom from the need to justify or explain myself, a wonderful liberation, felt the warmth of divine presence that was beyond the need for words. I am only just beginning to understand what Francis of Assisi meant when he spoke of perfect joy being found in suffering without cause. That's God giving grace to Richard Foster to love even his enemies. That's God building people in whose communities the love of God grows and spreads. Because in Jesus we see God's good shepherd heart revealed. So that in us, others might see it too. It's important to listen to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, because he's good, because it is in his nature to give life, and so that we can then become truer reflectors of his life to others. Staying close to Jesus, we learn how his voice sounds, so that we too can share his life and his Good Shepherd ministry.